because I have a flu. So in case you thought it's the same brother on the radio show, the one whom they probably wish I would just die or disappear because of the continuous Allahu musta'an. Anyways, Jazakumullah khairan for coming. May Allah bless each one of you and include me with you as well. We will roughly try to translate the khutbah of the Shaykh with a lot of things that I cannot remember, because it's not permissible to take notes. When you go listen to the khutbah, you listen to what the Shaykh is saying, you don't be taking no notes. So I cannot do that, so I can come and give you something more accurate. I try to accumulate as much as I can, then share it with you. If you see some mistakes, pardon me for the sake of Allah. I will begin as the Prophet ﷺ used to begin by saying, إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ لِلَّهِ نَحْمَدُهُ وَنَسْتَعِينُهُ وَنَسْتَغْفِرُهُ وَنَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شُرُورِ أَنفُسِنَا وَسَيِّئَاتِ أَعْمَالِنَا مَنْ يَهْدِهِ اللَّهُ فَلَا مُضِلَّ لَهُ وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Now I know that was a lot of Arabic for you, but I will translate inshallah, because this is how the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to begin his khutbah. This is the sunnah, by saying all praises due to Allah. We praise Him, we seek Allah's forgiveness, and we ask for Allah's assistance, and we seek refuge in Allah from our evil souls and our bad deeds. Verily, whomever Allah guides to Islam, no one can lead astray. And whomever Allah allows to go astray because they do not want any guidance, then no one can guide. And I bear witness that there is no God worthy of our worship except Allah Azza wa Jal, the creator of the heavens and the earth alone. And I bear witness, as you bear witness, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. May Allah send His peace and blessings upon him, his companions, and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the day of judgment. Then the Prophet ﷺ would quote some verses from the Quran by saying, O you who believe, have taqwa towards Allah. Taqwa is protection. Protect yourself from the punishment of Allah by doing that which He commanded and staying away from that which He made forbidden, the way Allah deserves it. And do not die except as Muslims. Submit us to Allah. The Prophet ﷺ will quote another verse that says, O mankind, fear your Lord, who created you from a single soul, Adam, and from him created his partner, Eve, and from them dispersed many men and women upon earth, us, and those who came before us, and those who will come after us. And fear Allah, to whom you demand your mutual rights, and reverence the wombs that bore you, meaning keep your kinship ties, stay close with the family. Verily Allah ever watches over you. And he ﷺ would also quote the last verse, all you who believe, fear Allah and say a good word. He will help you accomplish and establish good deeds, and He will forgive you your sins. And whomever obeys Allah and His Messenger has attained the greatest success. Then the Prophet ﷺ would say, verily the most truthful speech is the Quran, the Book of Allah. The most truthful speech. There's no contradiction, there's no errors, there's no changes. The most truthful book on earth is the Quran, because it has the words of Allah. And the best guidance, the best way of life, the best example, the best man to be followed is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the worst of affairs, the worst of things are the things that we introduce into the religion. Because every newly introduced matter is an innovation. And every innovation will lead us astray, and if we are astray, we'll be going to the fire. May Allah protect us from the fire. This is how the religions before became misguided, when they innovated into the religion that which is not part of it. Jesus was the messenger of God, all of a sudden Jesus was the son of God. All of a sudden Jesus was God. All of a sudden Mary was the mother of God. All of a sudden you have a whole new religion other than the one Jesus was preaching. Why? Because of innovation. Because people think that they can compare with the Creator and their understanding. So Allah legislate and they legislate. And there's contradiction between both. Rather, Muslims, we don't have anyone legislating anything in Islam. There's Allah Azza wa Jalla and His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and there's those who submit to that versus those who reject that. The Shaykh, may Allah preserve him, mentioned that the most honorable state for the son of Adam is that of servitude. Ubudiyya. Servitude. It comes in a narration that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, angel Jibreel, Gabriel, came to him. And while he was with him, another angel came from the heavens. The angel Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam told him upon this, this angel has never descended to earth from the day he was created until today. This angel in return told Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, or informed him, would you want to be a prophet that is a king? A prophet that is a king. Like who? Sulaiman. Solomon. Or would you want to be a messenger who is a servant? What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam choose? He chose the second one. I don't want to be a king. I want to be a servant. He chose servitude. This is the most honorable state for the son of Adam. As opposed to what the disbelievers may indicate. They think if you are a servant to Allah, meaning you are oppressed, meaning you are helpless, and meaning you are weak. And the reality is the opposite. When you are a servant to Allah, then you are on the right track. Because when you are, the more you are a servant, the more Allah will honor you. Versus the disbelievers. The more they reject Allah, the more the people will belittle them. And the people will look down at them. And this is something that we all, is tangible. You live it. You see it with your own eyes. So the Shaykh began his khutbah with this particular narration about this great honor of being a servant to Allah. Then he mentioned the Hujjaj, those who perform the act of the fifth pillar of Islam, Hajj, which is one of the great acts of worship in Islam. Acts of worship in Islam, and it is among the things that we show our servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Shaykh was making dua and supplication to those who performed Hajj, that Allah Azza wa Jal accepts from them their Hajj. And that every act of worship that we performed during Hajj was in manifestation of La ilaha illallah. Every act of worship we performed, whether it is the tawaf around the Kaaba, or the sa'i between the Safa and Marwa, or sleeping in a place in Mina or Muzdalifah or what have you, or throwing the jamarat, every single act of worship was established for one thing, to revive La ilaha illallah. And to show, and for Allah Azza wa Jalla to see us in the state of being servants. And Allah knows about our situation. So the Shaykh was mentioning that the brothers will fall into two different categories upon their arrival. Once they come back from Hajj, after Allah has blessed us, those of you who performed Hajj, after Allah has blessed you with Hajj, and facilitated for you, and made it easy for you to go and do this while many others were deprived. Many people come back after Hajj, and they do not show thankfulness to Allah. They are not grateful to Allah. So Allah has honored them during these number of days in obedience and submission. Then when they come back, they go back to the same old ways of sinning and disobedience and being ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is, ya akhwan, not befitting for any one of us. It is not befitting that you return the ni'mah with sin. Yani Allah bestows a favor upon us and then we turn around and we misuse it. This is a person who does not know how to do business. And in this world, if you don't know how to do business, you cannot make money. If you cannot make money, you'll be borrowing money all the time. A person who is a good businessman, he knows where to go, how to conduct his business, how to win, how to be a good salesman, how to purchase the item and have a profit. You know, there's guidelines for business. And every Muslim is doing business with Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah calls it in the Quran, tijara, business. But it's a business in the hereafter. The house you're building is not here, it's in the hereafter. And the car you'll be driving is not here, it's comfort in the hereafter. And everything that you'll be doing is not for here. You may get something here out of the mercy of Allah, but we shouldn't do it for here. The shaitan will try to twist that around, right? But we want to do it for the hereafter. This is business. So we were doing business during these days of Hajj. We don't want to come back and lose the money that we made. You made some profit, you go gamble with it? Or do you go make more business, make more money? You make more business, more money. You don't lose the money you just made by buying a lottery ticket. And the next thing you know, you're back broke, asking people for money. Now that we came back from Hajj, we cannot afford to play around. Huh? We cannot afford to go back to the old days. This is an opportunity for many of us to have all their sins forgiven, all their previous sins forgiven by the will of Allah, if their Hajj was accepted. Here the Shaykh touched upon something. Husn al-dhan. Assume good about Allah. Assume good about Allah. And he quoted a few narrations from the Prophet ﷺ that none of you should die unless he assumes good about Allah. What does that mean? That means that have hope that Allah will accept your Hajj. Do not despair. Do not despair, say my Hajj was not accepted. Huh? I did many bad things. Every one of us had his own shortcomings. Nobody went to Hajj and was an angel and came back like an angel. Every one of us had his own shortcomings, and Allah knows about what you don't know. Yet, do not reach the point of despair that you will say, no way Allah will accept my Hajj because I've done such and such. Rather have good hope in Allah. This is the number one element. Yet, at the end of the khutbah, the Shaykh reminded at the same time that you should really not be too confident either. Some people will say, oh man, today I feel like my mother just gave birth to me, man. I have no sin. Say, why? I just came back from Hajj. MashaAllah. Do you know that Allah accepted your Hajj? Do you have any receipt? Any proof? No. So you can't go to either extreme. Huh? You don't say Allah didn't accept my Hajj because I'm evil. And you don't say, well, Allah accepted my Hajj because you're speaking about Allah with no knowledge. And Aisha radiallahu anha told the Prophet ﷺ about the verse, وَالَّذِينَ يَأْتُونَ مَا أَتَوْا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ. The Shaykh quoted this verse. Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, was asking the Prophet ﷺ the interpretation of this verse. Those who bring forth what they bring from deeds, while their hearts are in a state of trembleness, they shall return to Allah. She said, O Messenger of Allah, who are these? Are those who fornicate, those who drink alcohol? He said, no. It is the people who perform fasting and the people who do salah, but they do not know whether their deeds were accepted or not. So it is a quality of the believer not to have any guarantees. Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, used to say, if I know that Allah accepted only two rak'ahs from me, I would depend on them. Because Allah says, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Because barely Allah only accepts from the pious. Meaning if Allah accepted from me, I must be among the pious. Meaning I'm good to go. But he, the son of Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, the companion of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, did not feel confident enough to say that Allah accepted two rak'ahs. So we don't go to either extremes. We hope in the mercy of Allah that Allah will accept, but we don't guarantee. Yet we don't despair and say Allah will not accept my Hajj. Everybody's understanding me. So we will travel on the middle path, inshallah. The khutbah was more than that, inevitably. And the Shaykh was mentioning, he was reminding the heedless people. Those people who, while the brothers were busy, some people went for Hajj. Some people remained behind, but they were fasting on the days of the Hijjah. They were involved in many acts of worship. They were fasting on the day of Arafah because they were not on Hajj. And what happened from the acts of worship? And this is two categories of people. The third category are the people who are asleep. Neither did they go to Hajj, nor did they busy themselves with worship during these virtuous 10 days of the Hijjah. They were just like every other day. So the Shaykh reminded them to fear Allah and to remember that death is very near. And then soon enough you will be in the grave by yourself on a very cold night. In a grave by yourself. Your family members, no matter how much they love you, no matter how much they love you, nobody will sleep with you in the grave. Right or wrong? You think they'll say, oh my witness, this is our father. We'll stay with him for 1 week in the grave. As soon as they cover the grave, assalamu alaikum, everybody leaves. They may make dua for you. They may make dua at home for you, but nobody will stay with us on the first night of the grave. And this could be very near to many of us. This could be very, very close in the next few days. So why are you heedless? The Shaykh is saying, how? Repent to Allah. You have time to repent to Allah, repent to Allah. Change your ways. Even if you missed out on the Hijjah and the virtue of these 10 days, and you missed out on Hajj, don't miss out on the Tawbah now. Because you still have the chance to do Tawbah. Every one of us can do Tawbah now in here and leave this room with a new understanding. and a new intention that we will no longer disobey Allah Azza wa Jalla. We will still fall into sin out of weakness, but we will not do it deliberately. And the Shaykh also advised those who were upon goodness to remain upon goodness. وَاعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينِ. Allah Azza wa Jalla commanded Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he says, and worship your Lord until certainty comes to you. Certainty here is death. Worship Allah until death comes. Yani there is no vacation from good deeds. We have to strive daily, every day, every moment of our life to improve, to improve, to improve. And Allah Azza wa Jalla promised that those who strive, they will be guided. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَ لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Those who strive in our cause, we shall guide them to our path. It's a promise from Allah. All we have to do is some effort. And the Shaykh was mentioning about the niyyah, ikhlas, sincerity, which is a tamma. This is a calamity. Because if you're involved in da'wah, there's a shaitan in the back of your neck. Every time you speak, he wants you to speak for the purpose of the people. Every time you want to advise, he wants you to advise for the sake of the people, for the sake of honor. And it's a battle that each one of us has with himself to keep it sincere for the sake of Allah. Now, the shaitan will tell you, stop giving da'wah. Because you're not sincere to Allah. You're only doing it because you want to be faint. The scholars say, don't obey the shaitan. He's only trying to deprive you. Rather, continue making da'wah, but be sincere to Allah Azza wa Jal. So, we have to be sincere in Hajj. You don't do Hajj, so when you come back, they call you Hajj Ahmed. You were Ahmed before, now you're Hajj Ahmed. Huh? If the people call you Hajj Ahmed, alhamdulillah, but you should not wait for them. After somebody says, Ahmed, say, did you call me Ahmed? I just came back from Hajj, man. I'm Hajj Ahmed. Oh, excuse me. Your Shaykh, is it about the Hajj or what? You're supposed to do it for the sake of Allah, not for a name, title before your name. Huh? So this is misconceptions we have back home. I'm speaking from, trust me, I've seen this in my own eyes. If somebody performed Hajj 3 times, they will put a sign and say, Al-Hajj, Al-Hajj, Al-Hajj Ahmed. Ya Shaykh. Put Hajj to the power of 3. Make it some mathematical equation here. But يعني, it's misconceptions about Islam and ibadah. This is for the sake of Allah, not for you to become Hajj. Hajj, if it's not accepted, even if they call you Hajj, you're not a Hajj. You understand what I'm saying? So this is the bottom line of thing. Those who were upon goodness, remain upon goodness. But let's be sincere to Allah. Whenever you speak to the people, if you're going to be sitting in my position, whenever you speak to the people, don't be looking for the people's impression. Try to seek the pleasure of Allah. Even if the shaitan tries to ruin it, defeat him. Tell him, no, I will not. I will still speak for the sake of Allah. And Allah knows our intentions. Allah will help us if we really strive. May Allah make it easy for the dua. May Allah make it easy for those who call to Islam, because it's not an easy job. Because the shaitan, if he doesn't take you to the fire through shirk, he will take you to the fire through riyah, through showing off. But he wants to drag you anyways. So he make you give da'wah to go to the fire. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Anyways, that's it. Jazakumullahu khairan. I should have read this a long time ago. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.